Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, so much to talk about from this week one victory, 27-23 in the heat in Jacksonville over the Jaguars. But let's cut right to the chase. The game came down to 4th and 1 from the Green Bay 14-yard line with, I believe, 23 seconds on the clock. How did the Packers stop it?
If you were looking for high drama, Mike, to start off the 2016 season, you certainly received it at Everbank Field. And it did, as you said, come down to a 4th and 1 stop. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I thought very astutely, called a bubble screen. I like the play design of it. But the Packers and their defensive backs, really tenacious. First, Micah Hyde busting through an attempted block to free himself. As soon as Demaryius Randall was playing about 5-6 yards off the line, saw that a guy was coming up to block Micah Hyde, zooms up, gets the first contact on Allen Hurns. Hyde comes off, bumps him, gives enough time with both of those two guys for Morgan Burnett to charge, stop him for a 1-yard loss, and preserve a huge Packers victory.
Yeah, and it was, I think, all through that fourth quarter, the Packers were just waiting to get a fourth down stop. The Jaguars, they went for a fourth down early in the game around midfield. That was a, kind of a surprise move. They converted that. Then, with the Packers ahead by 7 in the fourth quarter, the Jaguars had a drive for a field goal. They converted twice on fourth down. Then on the final drive, 4th and 14, after a holding penalty had negated a fourth down conversion, 4th and 14, Morgan Burnett gets called for a defensive holding, gives the Jaguars another fourth down conversion. It was, you kind of felt like, well, either everything is falling right for the Jaguars here, or their luck is eventually going to run out, and the Packers finally got the fourth down stop.
They did, and the Packers actually did a really good job of third down defense. It was just a matter of...
Yeah, they put him in all those fourth downs.
Yeah. Gus Bradley really having a lot of confidence in a young offense, and I respect what they did there. They played aggressive. They played like they had nothing to lose, because for so long, they've been on the wrong side of that equation. So they were going out here looking at this as an opportunity to hang with one of the NFL's best. They certainly did that. But at the end of the day, it came back to a point of emphasis that Dom Capers and Mike McCarthy had for this defense this offseason. Pursuit and finish. Go to the ball, swarm to the ball, and stop the ball carrier. And on that play, for as many different things that was maybe working against Green Bay and its defense at certain points in that game, everything came together when it mattered most.
Yeah, and we saw the value of the Packers' depth in the secondary, not only on that last play, but really throughout the second half. You had Quentin Rollins had a rough series there early on, so they went with Ladarius Gunter for a while instead. Then on the final drive in the fourth quarter, you had Sam Shields leave the game after delivering a hit on the running back, T.J. Yeldon, and Shields was being evaluated for a concussion, so you had to dip even deeper into that depth chart. And Kentrell Bryce, the undrafted rookie safety, came in the dime package. They were moving guys around. This is why the Packers kept all those defensive backs, and especially on a hot day, everybody could use a little rest here and there and whatnot. It paid dividends.
Micah Hyde, when I was talking with him about this in the postgame locker room, he mentioned he thought there were two real big keys to this game. One, the offense having the 9-minute drive in the third into the fourth quarter. That gave the defense a lot of time to sit and relax, be able to really catch their breath once again after having being worked quite a bit in the first half. Then secondly, it was the fact that the Packers rotate as many defensive backs as they do in different positions. You saw on that final play, on that final series, Morgan Burnett, who's an all-world safety, come down and play the dime cornerback spot opposite Micah Hyde in the slot. You saw Kentrell Bryce, the undrafted rookie from Louisiana Tech, come in and fill in at safety. There was no Sam Shields. As you mentioned, Quentin Rollins got off to a rough start. Immediately after he comes in to replace Shields, they test him. He stands up to that test. I thought everybody on that defensive secondary really stepped up, and that's the reason why the Packers were able to walk out of there with a W.
Yeah, and for all the attention on the fourth down stop and 4th and 1, it was obviously the play of the game. The play by Rollins in the end zone, after he had essentially been yanked from the game for some rough moments earlier, Blake Bortles goes deep to the end zone to Allen Robinson, who had really been his go-to guy all day long in the clutch situations. And Rollins just went toe-to-toe, went up for the jump ball. Just a tremendous play on the ball that saved the game and gave them a chance to win it on fourth down.
No question in my mind, the MVP for this defense in this game was Demaryius Randall, but I don't know if anybody was more clutch than Quentin Rollins. And as both Randall and Morgan Burnett said it afterwards, that's his makeup. That's his personality. That's how he approaches the game. He's a very sure-minded and really confident young man. So even if there are some plays early on that he gives up, he has confidence to come back and make a big stop. And as you said, that was a huge play at a huge part of the game. If they get that touchdown, if Allen Robinson comes down with it, not only are they right in the thick of this thing, but it's also a play that could really affect you on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to talk about from this thrilling Week 1 victory for the Packers in Jacksonville. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, sticking with the defensive side of the ball for the discussion right now, the Packers' defense against the run in this game on a hot day where the Packers aren't exactly deep on the defensive line with Mike Pinnell being suspended, you couldn't really rotate as much as you may have liked to, excuse me, up front. The number of times that the front seven got in the backfield for tackles for loss on T.J. Yeldon. Now, the Packers caught a little bit of a break in that Chris Ivory, the other running back for the Jaguars, was taken to the hospital,
sure,
I believe either Saturday night or Sunday morning, and was inactive for the game. But T.J. Yeldon, 21 carries, and the Packers just never let him break out.
Dom Capers likes to talk about the passer rating differential, usually dictating whether or not you win.
Right.
If you have more tackles for a loss than the opposing team has a long run, that's usually a positive sign.
Yeah.
In being able to walk out with a W. But what really impressed me about this game is one of the very subtle storylines of this whole week was, how are the Packers going to manage the heat, and how are they going to be able to stop the run with as young of a defensive front as they had? Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan both playing those inside linebacker spots. Clay Matthews working back outside again in that young defensive front with LaTroy Guyon and Mike Daniels leading a lot of young bodies there. No matter who rotated in, and it was Daniels and Guyon a lot, but they all stood up to the challenge. And I thought that that was really key. This was a game that could have very well tilted in the Jaguars' favor if they could get the run going. And fortunately for the Packers, there was a lot of really solid play in the trenches that stymied some of that momentum.
Yeah, you mentioned the tackles for loss. The Packers had 8 TFLs against the run, and Yeldon's long run for the game was only 7 yards when he carried the ball 21 times. 21 carries for 39 yards. You can't really do much better against the run than that. And the Packers didn't get maybe the turnovers from Blake Bortles that they were hoping for. They got the one early on the deflected pass, and Joe Thomas made a nice Johnny-on-the-spot play to snag that one. But this wasn't a game that came down to turnovers or fluky plays or anything like that. The Packers did what they needed to do defensively up front, and as you mentioned before, with the offense putting together a couple of long drives, they were fresh enough, at least through the first 3.5 quarters anyway, yeah, they were fresh enough to do that.
And going back to what I just mentioned, I mean, looking at the stat sheet right now, Mike Daniels played 43 snaps, LaTroy Guyon played 39. The other three young defensive linemen together played at about 25 combined. So that tells you, in base and nickel packages, nickel particularly, it was Guyon and Daniels.
Yeah.
So those two young guys, those 300-pound guys going out there and standing up to that much collision, that much heat, playing in those conditions, I think you got to tip your hat to them. And also to this defensive rotation they got going in terms of getting the different bodies that they did involved in the dime, so you didn't necessarily have to rely on either one of those guys as the one down lineman in those packages.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned before the two young inside linebackers, Jake Ryan, the second-year guy, Blake Martinez, the rookie. I'm sure there are things on film they're going to see that they want to clean up, they want to be a little bit sharper with, but I think the best word to describe those two from this game is active.
Yes.
They were in on the ball carrier a lot. You mentioned it before, the swarming, the pursuit and finish. I thought Martinez and Ryan really epitomized that in the middle of the defense. And the Packers will be able to live with the little cleanup things and the young things that those guys are going to learn from. And it does help to have those two big veteran guys right in front of them in Daniels and Guyon.
Everybody has a role here, Mike. Your role, obviously, is to be the solid, great reporter, the, you know, good with grammar and everything. My role is to sit here and jabber. But the thing about Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan is that they aren't going to be looked at to be the superstars right away. They don't have to be the all-pro guys that are going to make a huge difference in terms of whether the Packers win or lose games. That's what they have Clay Matthews for. That's why they're using Julius Peppers the way they're using him. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. These two young guys need to come in and fill the void, be able to do, allow Dom Capers to do whatever he wants to do with that defense. I thought in this game they really stepped up. They really showed that they can handle that job in whatever those job responsibilities are, along with Joe Thomas, by the way, in the dime package, using him once again in that role. I thought really was a solid start for these inside linebackers amidst so many questions that they had going into the season.
Yeah, and your veterans on the outside, Matthews and Perry, played the majority of the snaps, and I thought both of those guys played very, very well. Perry had a big third down sack on the Jaguars' second to last drive, had the big third down sack that forced the 50-yard field goal, kept the Packers with the four-point lead there with about 5 minutes to go. And Matthews, the more you watch him, and it's like the heat, the conditions didn't matter. His speed off the edge, his jump off the edge, whether he's trying to get to the quarterback or whether he's wrecking a running play, he's just a special player, and really, it was fun to see him back on the outside on an every snap basis for the first time in a season and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, you want to have him rushing the quarterback as many times as possible. And, you know, to be also honest with you, 53 defensive snaps, playing about 75% of the total, that's probably better for him too. I mean, there was a lot of games where he was playing every snap at inside linebacker last year. So to be able to keep him fresh and get that rotation going, I thought really showed what this defense can do. And also give credit, I mean, that sack that he had, Joe Thomas setting it up the way he did, just the amount of bodies that were around the football, that was, if I'm Dom Capers, I walk away pleased with the pass rush that you got in this game against the Jaguars.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we need to shift gears to the offense here before the show gets away from us, so let's do that after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, shifting gears to the offensive side of the ball, let's start with what everybody was waiting for, what everybody was waiting over a year for, and that was the return of Jordy Nelson to the Green Bay Packers offense. And as we talked about last week, it would have been so fitting for him to catch Aaron Rodgers' first touchdown pass, and lo and behold, he did.
It actually happened that way. I should have put all my chips on that outcome. But the actually, and I wrote about this too on Packers.com, the way in which the play unfolded, it was just traditional Packers football in terms of Aaron Rodgers buying a little bit of time to let the guys in the end zone get separation, and then just absolutely whistles a pass right to Jordy Nelson within a few inches of the defender for the touchdown. Nelson making the catch. As he said, it felt good to get that one out of the way, to let you, you know, let you know exactly what you made this comeback for. And for him to be back out there, I know it was just six catches for 32 yards, but even when I started to rewatch the game, how much the safety had to account for him in Jacksonville's secondary, that's something that's what the Packers need. That's what they want. That's what Jordy Nelson gives you. And I thought it certainly was a big plus for this offense.
Yeah, not a huge impact, as you said. Six catches for 32 yards, did have the touchdown. We saw a few missed connections early on between Aaron and Jordy there. But in the second quarter, they kind of found each other, found a little bit of rhythm. The Packers went with some more up-tempo there late in the second quarter and got things going. Kind of a risky move, but you know you have halftime coming up to rest, but a risky move in that kind of heat to go up-tempo, but they put the pressure on Jacksonville's defense and came through there with two touchdowns in the second quarter to take the lead into halftime.
Nelson said the recipe for this Packers offense is establishing that first down, getting into the no huddle, and being able to get that rhythm going and that tempo, a three-step process. It didn't matter if it's 0 degrees or if it's 100 degrees. That's what the Packers are shooting for. And on that particular series, they were able to establish that. As he said afterwards, there was still a little bit too much inconsistency in the offense. There's some things that they need to work on in terms of getting everything back fully functional. But throughout the course of the game, Mike, we saw traditional Packers passing game action. And I thought that was really positive. You even saw Jared Cook drawing the 30-yard defensive pass interference. Yeah, that was
a big play.
Huge play right before halftime. Yep. Ends up setting up a tremendous grab from Davante Adams for the 29-yard score, giving the Packers the lead again going into halftime and a good shot of momentum. It was just a really balanced outing in terms of all the key contributors. Now the question is just going forward if they can get some of those kinks worked out and really get to operating down for down like they're grown accustomed to.
Yeah, it's interesting that Nelson mentioned getting the first down because Aaron Rodgers said the same thing after the game. I know you're in the locker room talking to the players, and I was at the press conference with Coach McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, and it really does seem like it's getting that first down because the Packers had three consecutive three and outs in the first half. The field position was badly tilted against them. Two of those three and outs, they were backed up inside their own 5-yard line to start. That's a tough spot to be in, but as Aaron Rodgers said, we at least have to get one first down and help out our defense there and be able to punt the ball out of trouble. But it seems that when the Packers can move the chains that first time, then the rhythm starts to kick in and they can go a little bit more up-tempo. And I think the rest of the season, and they're not going to play another 90-degree game, right. The rest of the season when we're playing, the Packers are playing in more normal conditions, I think we're going to see even more and more of the up-tempo.
And keep this in mind, too, Mike. When you get that first down, you start getting more plays together. You start getting in a no huddle. That's when you start seeing the 12 men on the field penalties for the defense. That's when you can start drawing them off sides. That tempo is so much influenced by what they can also do, how Aaron Rodgers can start manipulating the game and manipulating the defense. And we, you know, later on in the second half, I know they weren't happy with their 4-minute offense, but that 9-minute series that I alluded to in our first segment was so critical for how not only getting the defense some rest, but also offensively being able to really show what this offense can do when everything is on the same page.
Yeah, well, I want to get back to that 9-minute series that led to the field goal after the break. But first, let's take care of a little bit of sponsor business. Wes, we all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, final segment. Let's go back to that 9-minute, 14-second drive. I believe it was 16 plays, 73 yards. The Packers tacked on a field goal. But, boy, they did everything right on that drive. Controlled the ball, converted third downs. They were in third and manageable that entire drive. Converted third downs, milked the clock. They did everything but punch it in the end zone. It came down to third and goal from the 2-yard line. And a handoff to James Starks where half the offense thought it was a pass play, the other half thought it was a run play. And Aaron Rodgers could laugh about it a little bit after the game, but it was a difficult mistake to swallow at a big time because a touchdown would have been so important at that stage.
Yeah, it was. And that was the biggest thing, as Jordy Nelson alluded to. I know some of the guys, they really did want to finish that score there, just like they wanted to establish that 4-minute offense on that last possession right after that. But what really impressed me about it, TJ Lang talked about this in the locker room afterwards, the emotions of that moment. I mean, you've already played 45 minutes in that game. Well, now suddenly you get deeper and deeper into that series. That's a long time to be out on the field and a long time for these guys to endure those elements. And they did it. And Aaron Rodgers really being able, there wasn't one huge play on that series.
No. Nope.
There were a couple penalties that helped the Packers along, but it was just getting so many different people involved in the offense. Jared Aberderis with a catch. I think Jared Cook had a reception on that drive. Eddie Lacy getting involved. It was just kind of exactly what you wanted to see at the time you wanted to see it in terms of taking some of that time off the clock and allowing the Packers defense to rest and really getting set for that final surge by the Jaguars.
Yeah, the second half really became, for both teams, became a ball control type of second half. The Packers started to convert some third downs on their opening drive of the second half and drove down and kicked a field goal. But let's go back for a second to the end of the first half. You mentioned the catch by Devontae Adams for that touchdown. How about that throw by Aaron Rodgers? Jalen Ramsey blitzes off the slot, and James Starks in the backfield picks up another rusher, so Ramsey has a free run at Rodgers, gets a hold of the back of his jersey and is trying to yank him down, and Rodgers has enough arm strength to fire that thing 35 yards or so to the goal line, and then with Devon House interfering with Adams at the goal line all over him in coverage, and Adams comes up with the catch for a huge touchdown.
Two things really stood out to me on that play. One, for Adams, it reminded me in some ways of the Joe Callahan pass in the preseason. Now, it wasn't as deep, but it was kind of a similar thing where he's coming across right in the middle of the field, and this time even more difficult coverage with Devontae Adams really draped on top of him, and comes down with it. And afterwards he was asked if that shows kind of the confidence that Aaron Rodgers has in him right now, and he said, well, I don't know if that's confidence in me or just himself in order to really get that ball off. Guy draped on his throwing shoulder, and yet he still throws it out there, puts picture perfect to Adams, and afterwards Devon House. It's just kind of like, well, what else can you do? I mean, it was one of those kind of plays, and that only Aaron Rodgers can make happen.
Yeah, now, other than the third goal at the 2-yard line, I think the biggest regret the Packers have in this game is getting the ball with 5 minutes to go and going 3 and out, not being able to get the 4-minute offense going to kill the clock, some communication issues, a timeout, a delay a game, that kind of stuff the Packers want to clean up. Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy were not happy about it after the game. But all in all, in those conditions, the Packers put up 27 points, and it was enough to win.
It's always easier to learn from a win than a loss. And, I mean, being able to take that away, I think it's going to be good for the Packers going forward.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll still have plenty more to talk about after we hear from the assistant coaches and their reflections on Week 1. That's a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford, at Packers on Twitter. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.